Hello, everybody. This is Tom. This is Andy. This is Two Legs. This is the live edition. How you doing, everybody? We're back, and it's Wednesday night, and it's what is this? This is what 22 episode 22 of Ranking the
Ranking the
Trolls.
Tracks, Volume 22.
There you go.
Chaos and Creation in the Backyard.
Yes, there you have it, boys and girls.
Yeah. This is gonna be a fun one.
Oh, absolutely. I had a great time ranking this one because there's so many great tracks on this album.
Man, after coming out of Driving Rain, man,
Oh,
this was
this one hits you like a ton of bricks, man.
Yeah. Let me just give us a minute here to get our chat page up running here and make sure that's all hunky dory. And pull that over here. Let's see that. Make sure that's working.
All right, we got some people here. We got Hudson, we got Oliver, we got Brad, we got Tony, we got Tom. Too many favorites on this one. Absolutely, Tom.
Yeah, and a nice
Absolutely.
compared to Driving Rain, it was 13 tracks, you know? So
Right.
it was harder for Oliver than Ram. That's
Wow.
whoa.
And you know what? Yeah, and there's just a ton of great. I mean, this is a near perfect record, in my opinion. Near perfect.
Pretty much. This to me ca almost captures the Flaming Pie spirit a
Really?
little bit. So
Okay.
just a little bit. A little bit. Not can't obviously, but pretty darn near close, you know?
I'm here, Kevin. I'm here with my bottle of wine and dark chocolate. Time to rank a classic. Great.
That is a nice recipe right there.
Yeah. Before we get started,
Yes.
a couple things. One, I just want to give another shout out to sorry, I'm got a throat thing right now.
Yeah. It's all
Sorry,
right.
guys, but I want to give a shout out to our boy John Bazzini. He runs the Facebook page Beatles and Prince Together and Solo. Now, if you're a big fan of the Beatles books and solo Beatles books, check out his Facebook page because you're going to get a lot of updates. Whenever there's a new announcement of a book coming out, John is real quick to getting that on his Facebook page and throwing a link on there to showing wherever you can order the book. And I want to thank him as well for allowing us to whenever we have an author on the show where he always lets us post the episode there. So we want to thank him a lot and just give him a shout out for his Facebook page, which is again the Beatles and Prince Together and Solo.
Great
So check that
page.
out.
Yes, great page. Thank you,
Right.
John.
And then secondly, we've been going strong here. But unfortunately, we're gonna have to take the next 2 weeks off, right, Andy? And then
Yep.
we'll be back. When will we be back?
We will be back for Ranking the Tracks on May 12th.
Okay, May 12th. So, unfortunately, we all get busy in our lives and this is a busy period and we need to make sure that we take care of those obligations that we have in our life. And unfortunately, sometimes this comes secondary to us, but again, life is what it is and we'll be back May 12th live. So we'll still be doing our Saturday episodes.
Absolutely. Yep.
But we just won't be doing the Ranking the Tracks live until, was it again, May what?
May 12th,
May 12th, thank you. Yeah.
8 or 9 p.m. And obviously our first Saturday show of May will be the audio version only of Ranking the Tracks of Band on the Run,
Right.
which will that'll be dropping on Podbean, so there won't be a YouTube pre-recorded show.
Right.
And that's usually our par for the course with our
Right.
our schedule as it's been.
Right.
Hi Susan, how are you? Thanks for popping on there tonight.
Everybody. Now, I want everybody to Ethan did another amazing thumbnail, Oliver. Great. I'm glad you mentioned that because Ethan's been doing a great job. Another thing I wanted to mention is we had talked about the hidden track here. I
Yeah.
only have two hands, and whether or not we should add that. And I thought, well, okay, maybe we should, but then since it's not its own track, we thought we're just going to cancel the track altogether and then add it to our bonus tracks, our B-sides,
Yeah, our extra.
non-album tracks.
I mean, and I know it's technically on the album,
Mm-hmm.
But it's not banded. It's not banded as one. Listed. It's not listed as one. I think it actually is banded on the vinyl. If I'd have to go look at it.
No, it's you know, not. It's
is it not banded as its own track on the vinyl? It's been a while since I've played the vinyl. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, you look at this album, and I never considered it a separate song. It was, to me, it was just a little extension of Anyway, kind of like Cosmically Conscious is tacked onto the end of Come On People.
Well, Armando is here for the first time from Mexico. Thanks for being here, my friend. Glad you were able to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of good B-sides from this.
Yeah. And plus, it is an instrumental here that closes out the album after Anyway, but Growing Up and Falling Down. Another good one.
Comfort of Love. Yeah, I Want
Comfort
You
of Love.
Fly. Summer 59,
exactly. So there's some, you know, a lot of great tracks that will be added to the 2000s.
Really, you didn't get a lot of that with Driving Rain.
You didn't get nothing. Well, because you already gave us 16 tracks. I mean, right, what more do you want? I mean, how much more do we need?
right. But this one, like, as I said, I mentioned at the top, I kind of felt it was a little bit of a throwback to Flaming Pie with the bonus cut, with the extra, with the bonus, because it was a slew of B-sides on this
right,
you know, the likes of which we really haven't seen too much. I mean, other than the slew of extra tracks we got on Egypt Station, obviously.
And Off the Ground.
No, I mean post okay, all that. Post, yeah. since all that, yeah
Egypt Station, yep,
yeah. So 2005, yeah, this was, to me, this was a return to form, and much more you know, this was like, okay, Paul's back. And again, Driving Rain, like Tom mentioned it when we did it last week, he was listening to it like in his car, in his truck, for like a month straight. And it's just, this one is, it's classic Paul. It's not as dark. It's not a darker, and you know, some people like, Jacob likes Driving Rain better than Chaos. That's how they like it. But Chaos is definitely a darker album of some tracks, but also some really nice ones too.
So. Oh, absolutely. It is a little darker in tone or feel, you know, not every track. And
you all right? I lost you, partner. No audio. I lost you.
Yeah, I purposely did that so you wouldn't have to hear me cough. but yeah, I mean, I'm gonna try to make this episode here and then go to bed or something.
I could like airmail you like one of my hauls if you want.
I got my bag right here, buddy.
Oh damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come prepared. But yeah, Chaos. I think the moment I heard this, I thought it was an instant classic. All of these songs resonated with me right away. None of these songs were really growers.
No.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right out of the bat, you were like. Great song.
Right. Mostly, I mean, not every song is as good as the ones that are really good. I mean, there's a couple here that, I mean, I don't always play every time I, you know, play the record or the CD.
I think, just looking at my list, there's 1, 2, 3, there's 4 songs, okay, out of the 13 that I don't really play that often. But the other 9 are bona fide Chaos tracks.
McCartney classics, yeah.
Through and through.
Agreed. Dark Period in Paul's Life, Breakup with Mills, Harrison's Death. Yep, that's right, Surge. This was a grower for me, but now I love it. That's cool, Hudson.
Dark Period.
Yeah, Tom says it right. I mean, Chaos has some of Paul's best lyrics, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's and again, toured on this tour. I did not actually get a chance to see him on this tour. Did you, Tom? Okay.
Nope.
I did not, but I did get my autographed copy of The Space Within Us personalized with my name on it.
Very cool. That's right.
But I didn't get it. It was given to me. Somebody waited in line and then he personalized it to Andy. But good tour.
Very cool. Yeah.
Didn't I show you that once or no?
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah, I think this was my first year in Chicago. And trust me, with my expenses, I couldn't afford to do anything.
So I understandable. Understandable.
Yeah.
But good tour. This was the tour that he played Too Many People for the Wings fans.
There you go. For the Wings fans. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. But that was a really nice tour because he had really changed it up from the first time. So he had thrown a he had switched it up quite a bit. So the chaos. This was
what did he did? What did he do live from this? He did what? Fine Line.
From this album, he did follow. He did Follow Me. I think
he
at Glaston
in Italy, right?
Italy, or... Glastonbury, Jenny Wren, and
English Tea.
He did as well too. Yeah, but a good tour, the Us tour from 2005. That was the Tony says that was his first concert. And he played three songs from the album. Yeah, which was it those three, Tony, that we had said? Yeah. Right. Oh, also, yeah, I played for No One for the I think it was. I think it was English Tea, Follow Me, and Jenny Wren. I think that's what it was. Yeah. During that acoustic bit.
Okay, so Oliver here asks, hey, when is the first episode of Anything But the Beatles going to be released? So do you want to say that now?
Yeah, why not? So that's going to be this weekend at some point, probably Saturday afternoon-ish, maybe Saturday night. It's going to get posted on the Two Legs page. And then we also have our own YouTube channel. It'll be on that. And we'll post the link on that on our respective pages. And big weekend right. if you're a big music fan, you know, you've got the Lennon box set coming Friday,
right?
Plastic Ono Band. And if you're a Who fan, you've got the Who, you know, I've got both coming, so I can't wait. I've got 11 or 12 discs of material to dive into, and I'm really looking forward to it. And
what are you opening first? What are you throwing in the CD player first?
Oh, Plastic Ono Band.
Okay.
Plastic Ono Band. So that's when that will come out, Oliver. So thank you for that.
Right. All right. So
your turn.
Oh boy. Am I? Yeah, I'm even, aren't I?
You're even. Yep.
Okay. 13 for me is it's a track that I like. I don't love. I like half of it, and that's At the Mercy.
Okay.
I did, I'm not a big fan of the At the Mercy part. However, I do like the other lyrics. I'm not, At the Mercy, I don't like really that part.
No, agreed with you.
What's the word? Sometimes I'd rather run and hide than stay and face the fear inside.
Face the fear inside, yeah.
That's, some lyrics that I really like on that one. And we can watch the universe explode if you take me up, and I won't say no. So I kind of like the verses rather than the chorus. For me, the verses are where it's at. Musically, I don't think it's one of the weaker ones musically, I think, on this album. But lyrically, half of it I think is good, and the other half I think is weak. So At the Mercy for me is 13.
Like that one part of the song, that big kind of big church part, down, 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 down. That's
right.
The coolest part of the song too. 13 was okay. So 13 for me is A Certain Softness. Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, just don't like that one. I don't like that A Certain Softness. I just don't like that. Can't be. It's got some nice lyrics in it, but A Certain Softness was one of those ones to me that. I just thought went on a little bit too long. Got me hooked. So yeah,
right.
I'm not a big fan of Certain Softness. Not at all. Yeah. I see Tom and Susan also have it there as well. So yeah, that's my 13.
Okay. 12, I have Follow Me, which, another softer song. I like this one more than I like At the Mercy. It's fine lyrically, and I think it's fine musically. I really dig this one. I like the, you hold up the sign that reads Follow Me. You gave me directions, you show me the way, you give me the reason.
Down the track of loneliness. Yeah. Oh, you don't like that part?
Yeah. No, but I mean, I dig it. I mean, I don't love this song, but I like it a lot. I mean, it's fine. I don't think it's one of the stronger songs.
It's not one of your chaos go-to songs.
No.
Okay.
These bottom three, unfortunately, are not like my go-tos, but then the rest will be,
So you would put three songs as the ones you don't really go to a lot.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so I would have four. You would pick three. All right.
Yeah.
12 for me, and this might be unpopular because I think a lot of people like this one, and I think my partner does too. Mm. Riding to Vanity Fair.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to have that one pretty high. I knew it. That's a song I really, really tried to get into because I know, given the history of that song, that's the song that the producer, Nigel Godrich, really kind of worked Paul over on. Over the lyrics, and this is they battled quite a bit on this song.
Right.
I just think it meanders a bit and it tries too hard. Great lyrics and a great mood, a darker mood.
Right.
You know, bit my tongue. Tells a nice story. But I don't think it goes anywhere. I just think it goes on way too long. And it tries too hard to be serious.
Mm. Interesting.
But it's a good, I mean, having said all that. If I'm listening to the album straight through, I don't skip it. So, but it's cool. Just a little bit of a tough listen for me.
Okay. And that was your 12.
Yeah.
Okay. 11 for me. Now, again, this is a song I like, but it's not to the point where I love like the rest of the songs. It could be one day, but that's for me to decide when that happens. But I'm glad I listened to this song a couple more times while doing this ranking. That's English Tea. I really like this one, but I'm not to the point where I love this. But there's certain aspects of this song that I really I love the miles and miles of English Garden. I mean, I love that stuff. You know, but that opening where you sit with me, you know, for a cup of tea, you know.
We know that Joe Mayo definitely hates this song.
You know, so it's like I said, it's got some good moments and there's some moments that, you know, I'm not really a big fan of, but I still enjoy it. You know what I mean? I still enjoy it, but it's not to where I love the song.
Okay. All right. It's the only song it's the only song in his catalog that has the word peradventure in it.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good trivia question one day for the fans, right? You know?
Yeah.
You're going to give something away.
Let's see. Oh, Hudson, English, he has it 11. I think it's Andy's one. No, it's not my number. These guys crack me up. They think it's my number one.
Okay.
Because they know that I like this cheesy Paul stuff. No, right. No, it is. I can tell you right now, it is not my number one. It is not. It is higher than where Tom has it, though. That tells you all you need to know.
Right.
Was that your 11, brother?
That was my 11, yeah.
Okay. My 11, again, this is probably very unpopular, Jenny Wren.
Oh, killing.
Yeah. Yeah, Jenny Wren. I don't need the 2005 version of Blackbird. Don't need it.
Fair enough.
Don't need it. Flogged it to death. Great guitar playing on it. Great guitar playing on it.
Agreed.
Really great guitar playing on it. And nice lyrics, but in the whole of Chaos on it, the ballads and the ballads to me and some of the other songs go way, way higher. And I just, again, this one feels like it tries too hard.
Wow.
I feel it tries too hard. Was never a big fan of Jenny Wren. Didn't like it really upon first hearing it that much at all. So it's definitely lower tier Chaos for me.
Come on, man.
Don't make fun of me for liking my Tweet Paul stuff there, Hudson. Okay. Come on, man.
Too funny. Okay. Top 10, my friend, top 10. These songs I just love. So these were really hard to rank. My 10 is Promise to You Girl. I love the opening line, looking through the backyard of my life, time to sweep the fallen leaves away. Love that. And then it just goes right out in the left field and becomes a piano rocker,
little bit of piano rocker. Yeah,
exactly. Which kind of like we got with Fine Line, which we'll talk about, you know, a little later. There's not a lot of rocking on this. Do you get piano rockers for the most part on this album?
Yes. We get ballads, but you get a couple rockers too.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I'm trying to say is there's really no true rocker, I think, unless you consider piano rockers.
Bonafide rocker. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Right. So, but Promise to You Girl, I think, is an excellent song. And Yeah, but unfortunately, I like the other nine a little bit better. Yeah.
Okay. No Mo Mandolin. My number one will, is not a fine line. And it, the name of the album is not in the lyrics. okay. So that's your, that was your 10.
Yep.
All right. My number 10, another dark song. How Kind of You. Yeah. So you can see, as we talked at the top of the show, a lot of, some of these songs, some of the themes in this album are darker. And I think Tom probably has this higher too. This is my, and my number one is going to be out of left field. You all think it's probably going to be some, something, but it's, that's totally, you're going to be all wrong on this one. How Kind of You though is, I like its placing on the album. But again, Paul doing the dark stuff just, doesn't sit well with me. Now, creatively, when he actually showed you how he did this song with the wine glasses,
right,
the Chaos
yeah.
and Creation at Abbey Road,
yes.
that was pretty cool.
Yes, it was.
And seeing him how he wrote How Kind of You,
yeah.
awesome. Awesome, awesome. You know, song meanings, you know, is there, is it about Heather? It's too low for How Kind of You, Andy.
Don't worry, well, Tony. I'll take care of that in a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah, I told you, but that's why we do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom Brennan. There you go. I like that. Tom Brennan just summed it up. Simple but powerful. Thank you, Tom Brennan. That's the best way I could say it. It's a very powerful song, but it's towards the bottom half of the album for me. Now,
wow.
Having said that, every track from here on out could have been gone either way for the most part after
okay.
these four.
All so, right. So, brother. Here, what do I got here? I got
I don't think we're going to match up this week.
Nine.
Usually
yeah,
match up sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. Number nine, I've got the album closer anyway, which, again, another simple, lovely ballad that I rank up really high in Paul's ballads throughout his career. Just unfortunately, I think there's a couple more ballads on here that I think are better than this one. If You Love Me, well, won't you call me? I've been waiting too long. Beautiful way to open the song. I just really, really dig that. And I think that has some Heather meanings in this, in that song. I think this one, you know, this song came from a little, some turbulence between the two, but you know, you can make that call, just, you know, so simple of a lyric, you know, just make that call. And it, you know, it's a beautiful song.
A lot of people, I remember reading on the forums at the time, thought this was a little bit of a rewrite of People Get Ready.
Really?
The old Rod right. Stewart song.
Yeah. Mo just said that.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people feel it's a little bit of a rewrite of People Get Ready.
Right.
Which it sounds like it could be a little bit in the beginning. Okay. So, Hudson had it as two. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, is inspiring. Yeah, I think so too. All right, so that was your nine?
Yeah.
Okay. Nine for me. Tom mentioned it a little few songs ago. At the Mercy. Mm. Which I like. Tom talked about the lyrics in it. I kind of like the song. About halfway through it stops. And you hear that big down. That's probably the best part of the song for me.
Okay.
I understand what Tom was saying with the lyrics, how it's kind of just like they kind of go nowhere a little bit, you know? Mm. So, but the production of At the Mercy is kind of why I have it ranked a little bit higher. Okay. Yeah. So that was my number nine.
Okay. Let's see here. My number nine is Too Much Rain, says Kevin. Yeah, okay. I didn't manage to get any higher than 12. Okay, Brad, no problem. And then Oliver just said you're redeeming yourself. Way to go, Andy.
Who did?
Oliver said you're redeeming yourself. So way to go.
Okay. Well, God, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to sleep tonight now.
It's Too Much Rain with the Charlie Chaplin connection. Absolutely. Number eight. Eight for me is A Certain Softness. I loved like this one. I love this one like I love Distractions and Footprints.
Okay.
You know, that's what I get when I hear this song. You know, you get, you know, I love all these kind of acoustic, you know, Spanish style ballad
guitar,
you know, type songs from Paul. And I think this one is, you you can put that one in that place with those other two. excuse me. I like it lyrically. I like it musically. This one connects to me on all levels, production, you know, lyrics, you name it. And I, you know, it's got a little falsetto in there as well, you know, which yes. I think is really cool. You know, it got me hooked, you know, I kind of like how he sings that,
yeah,
you know, but yeah, you know, I know Distractions Part Two. But great song, I think, in my opinion.
Okay. That was number eight for you.
That was eight. Yeah.
Okay. Eight for me. The album opener, Fine Line. Yeah. Remember this was the big single at the time of the album yes. release again yep. on Paul's website. This one, I remember being I just remember hearing this a lot, even, you know, going to the store and hearing this Fine Line serving as like the theme of the album a little bit, you know,
right.
Classic again, piano rocker to your point. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not really rockers. There's piano rockers on this one. And this is one of them a little bit. You know, it's one that I don't revisit a whole lot, but I like it quite a bit. And I really like the ending of it the best. You know, it's a fine line.
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
yep.
that bit. I like all that. And it kind of just the way it just ends. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun. Yep.
Yeah. Really, really like that. It's a fine line. Good, the verses on it too. Whatever's right. more important to you.
To you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
love
all.
Love that line.
That's yep. great. That's yep. those are great. Mm-hmm. So that was that's why I have it ranked eight.
Okay, cool. You know, and there's one really cool thing, and one of the cool things about this album that I love is that you've got a plethora of under 3 minute songs on this album. You know, it's just like the song gets to where it's going and then ends at a perfect spot. You know, you don't have a lot of songs on here that are over the three and a half mark. You know what I mean? So there's some really good songs
that he just
gets in and gets out of there, you know. Yeah.
Sorry, says, Kevin.
Oh man, Susan says I love Fine Line. It's my number one. Okay.
Ooh, I'm surprised. Susan and I are usually pretty.
You're right.
We're usually on point there a little bit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think I threw everybody a curveball with this one.
I think you did, my friend. Okay, number seven. If we were to do this a couple months after this album came out, I probably would have had the song a little higher. And that's Friends to Go at number seven. Doesn't mean I don't love it any less than what I did, but I still love this song a lot. I love the playing on this one. I love the lyrics. When he says that he can see himself or he can see George Harrison writing the song, I always kind of like step back and try to think of what part of that song is it? Is it just the acoustic guitar strumming? Because that's the only aspect of the song that I can see George do.
I think that comment has been overblown and overrated for over the last 15 years.
Right. Yeah.
No, so, I don't hear it. I don't hear the George Harrison thing in this at all.
Yeah. Just the acoustic playing. That's all I hear. But I've been, you know, I love, you know, the way it opens. I've been waiting on the other side for your friends to leave so I don't have to hide. You know, I dig that. I've been, you know, a lot of the stuff on here that I think. So tell me what I want to know. You know, I'll be waiting on the other side for your friends to go. You know, you don't have to worry about me. I spent time on my own. You know, someone else can worry about me. I spend a lot of time on my, you know, stuff like that. I think is really good. Some really good writing on this one. Like I said earlier, I mean, I think this is one of his better lyrical album in the last 20 years for sure.
Agreed, it's very Beatley Friends to Go for me because it's got towards the end of it, it's got the brass in it. Bum, 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 someone else can't worry about me. That's why I have it ranked a little bit higher. Ed Crawford climbing up a slowly burning rope is George to him.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of hooks in it. Yeah. Okay, so number
that was my seven.
Right, so seven for me is Follow Me, which I first heard or saw, I think, at Glastonbury. It was before the album came out. And that's kind of was. And then, again, somebody mentioned in the comments about holding the signs up, Follow Me. I just liked it as a simple kind of acoustic Great Day album. It's almost going to close the album kind of thing. It has that kind of a feel to it, you know.
Okay. Right.
Oliver, I have a list of every time Tom says I dig that.
Well, let's not do a drinking game then with that, okay?
Yeah. But I've always liked Follow Me, and especially the change in Follow Me. Down the path of loneliness, to the ends of sorrow, through the egg. I like all that bit of it, because it's a typical ballad that just starts out strumming, and then it goes, it changes the pace a little bit. And that change, that changes what I like about that song quite a bit.
Right.
That's my seven.
That's your seven. Okay. My six is the album opener, Fine Line, which was the opening single. You touched on some good stuff there. You know, I like the 1-2 and I do. I love the opening. I think it's a great opening. I think that it's really catchy. I think it was a really good opening single for this album. Maybe the only real commercial song on this album, for
single. Yeah.
That's a single. Absolutely. But I've always liked this one. Like you said, whatever's more important to you, you got to choose what you want to do, whatever's more important to be, that's the view that you have to see, again, powerful lyrics. Really, really dig this one. And again, this one probably would have been higher if we were to do this, six, seven, eight months after this.
It's a great, is what George Martin used to call a pot boiler to open up the album.
There you go.
Kind of gets the album going a little bit, and then Fine Line, definitely. Right. I think in terms of, comparing it to the album we ranked last week, I think Fine Line is way better of an opener than Lonely Road.
I would agree with you.
So that was your, six.
Six. Yeah. Top five, buddy.
No, six for me.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Six for me. Okay.
Go.
It's not my number one, English Tea. And I wasn't even in the top five. So take that, people in TV land. Okay. I like English Tea. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Right.
I just, it's everything about it obviously is just, overtly British in it. You're okay. The cakes, Sunday morning, right. Strings, all that stuff.
English gardens.
Everything about it. And I like all that stuff. I just do. I think I probably like, let's put it on repeat like 5 times back in the day when I got the CD. I liked it that much. I was just be in the car listening to it. I'm like, got to play it again. So much that my brother would be like, enough of that song. It sucks. My brother hates this song. But I love it.
You tortured him with it. That's why.
He would kill me. It was like enough of that song. But I always loved English Tea. There's Susan at New Susan at Abbott High. But Tom mentioned all the kind of points about the song that he likes it, and I'm with it as well.
Right.
YouTube land. People could be watching it on their TV, Brad.
Exactly.
So
all you got to do is hook the hook up to the HDMI. All
right, so they could be watching it on their TV.
Yeah.
Tony, I love English Tea itself more than the song. Fair enough.
We all tea together. Nice.
Yeah.
Very good, Ed. All right. So top five. Wow. Here we go. Top five for me is one that I love more and more every time I hear this song. And that's How Kind of You. I just love the piano loops on this one. It's really moving. And I like the lyrics. How kind of you to think of me when I was out of sorts. Really meant a lot to me, and to be in someone else's thoughts, someone else's mind, someone else as kind as you. I think it's touching. And again, it's just, simple. And I think he talked about how he would hear people say, how kind of you, so he kind of put that into song. And I like that. But for me, it's really the loops and experimentation musically on the song that I really, really enjoy.
So, a lot of these songs, to your point, have a very kind of quaint beginning that's kind of very quiet and build up to something bigger. Right.
Yeah, and this one builds too.
This one builds.
Right.
Anyway, builds.
Yeah.
Follow Me builds, Writing to Vanity Fair builds. Yeah. They all start out as these small embryonic things that work as songs that end up being this big thing, which is very kind of an interesting thing that he's did with a lot of the songs on this record, you know? But yeah, I had a feeling you'd rank this high.
Yeah.
Anyways, five. Let's see. Okay, so we're into the top five, and you chose How Kind of You is your five.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Okay, number five for me, and I struggled with this because I didn't know if I should make it four. Again, I could have any one of these in any other position. I really could.
Right.
And I know a lot of people in the comments have already said this is their number one. But number five is Too Much Rain. Mm. Powerful song. One that inspires a lot of people.
Yes.
Susan has it as five too.
Thank you.
I knew I'd sync up with my buddy there somewhere. Again, it could be number one. These top five could have been interchangeable. It's very inspiring. If you've hit a dark place and you need to, God, it's such an inspiring song in that regard, you know. And you could, if you're in the crappiest of moods, you could put that song on and it just makes you feel a lot better.
Right.
And it got an appearance on Pierre McCartney as well.
Good point.
So, love Too Much Rain, you know, it's too much of anything. So, you know, rain. So love all that.
Yeah.
Love all that. Tom had it as his number one. Ooh.
Wow. Excellent. Love it. All right. Number four. Number four for me, you already talked about it, and I guess I like this one a lot more than you do, and that's Jenny Wren. I dig this. I mean, I know you talk about, you know, it's kind of like the sequel to Blackbird, and I dig this more as like a sequel than like George did with, you know, Here Comes the Moon, as opposed to Here Comes the Sun, or, you know, or his, you know, this guitar can't stop from crying, rather than, you know, the other one, you know, the one great one from the White Album. But I like you said you love the guitar picking on this one, the acoustic guitar picking, I think is beautiful. I think his singing is really good on this one. I think lyrically, I like this, you know, the wounded warriors, you know, breaking up a home, you know, taking your song away, you know, just so many kind of things that you really just need to, you know, sit back and enjoy this for what it is. You know, it's not one of those songs where you can just, you know, be washing dishes or vacuuming or something like that. I think this is the kind of song that you just need to sit down and then just take it in. You know what I mean? Just sit back and enjoy it, you know, and without doing anything. You know?
Fair point. Fair point. The Queen has joined us.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, it was the Queen's birthday today too.
Wait a minute. What?
The real Queen.
Oh, okay. The real Queen. What is she, 101?
95.
Wow.
Yeah, 95. All right, number four for me.
Yes.
A little bit higher than Tom, where Tom had it, Friends to Go.
Mm.
And not for the George factor. In fact, one of the coolest things I love about this song is that it starts out acoustic, and then you hear piano kick in, and it's so prevalent. You know, the piano coming in, it's like in your ear when you hear that. And it's which is what I love about it. One of the things, because you, to me, that's again the building factor with this album, you know, adding, layering things to it. And that's what, you know, so you're hearing that piano kick in, and then the horns. Bum, 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 bum.
Right.
Yeah.
The piano to me is probably like the unsung hero on this album. There's just so much piano on this album. It's really a piano driven album.
Yes, it really is. Mm. So the piano kicking in, the horns doing the Beatle thing, you know, that I love. I've always loved that about Friends to Go. That's why it's my number four. Cool. You're welcome, Tony.
Well, three, top three time. Let's see here.
Ooh, my own.
Yeah, Blackbird, Bluebird, Jenny Wren. There's so many more bird songs.
Wings
You
of a
got more
Nightingale.
Wings of a Nightingale, Morse Moose and the Gray Goose. You got Two Magpies. I mean, it's on and on and on. Single Pigeon. We can keep going. But so top three. My three is a little. I had a little higher than you did. I think this is the second best, ballady song on it. But I put it in that kind of Always Someone Who Cares and Who Cares type songs. I love Too Much Rain. It was always one of my favorites on this track. As soon as I heard the album completely, you know what I mean? It was just like this was like one of the songs that I couldn't wait to hear again because I just again the doo-doo-doo, the piano is just amazing on this.
Hooks you right in.
Yeah, exactly. And Laugh When Your Eyes Are Burning, just again, very moving. And you can tell this is going to be one of those songs that's it could be like one of those songs to lift you up when you're kind of,
And he Paul doesn't have a
down.
lot of those in his catalog, you know?
No. That's why I love the stuff like Always Someone Who Cares, that kind of like in the same vein as this one.
Same vein, yeah.
So, it's too, excuse me, I love it. It's too much for anyone. I love that part. It's beautiful. And who wants a happy and peaceful life? You need to learn to laugh. And I just like how it ends, like right there.
You
It
need
just
to
comes
laugh,
clear enough.
boom, right.
Yeah, exactly. Again, just another song that I think this could have been it could have been my number one as well. You know what I mean? It's
Oh,
just
easily, easily.
it's a great track.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, that was your number three. Okay,
Yes.
my number three. Okay, ballad time. This never happened before.
Okay.
And I know it's going to be either two or one for you. I just don't know. I don't know where yet.
Right.
Yeah. One of the coolest things about this song was how he was playing it or whatever. And then the girl giving him who was his masseuse heard it and
Yeah.
he gave her the tape of it
Right, for your wedding.
to play at her wedding,
Right.
you know? Yeah. Again, towards the last half of the album. So it kind of, again, starts off slow.
Right.
Very sure, great lyrics, you know, works its way up with great production and strings throughout the whole all of it, you know. It has that great big flourish, you know. Basically, I mean, it's a simple lyric, you know, love song, this never happened before, blah blah blah. But I love the last 30 seconds of it. You're hearing like that swirling orchestra stuff, you know, and
Perfect. Yep.
Paul doing his thing, and then just ending.
Yeah.
Love that about that part of the song. You know, but again, it's a basic Paul ballad, but one of the stronger ones. And it's listen,
Yeah.
it's my number three for that reason. I've
Yeah.
loved this song from the minute I heard the album. I'm like,
Excellent.
again, this is that Beautiful Night category. It's up
Right.
it's on that level for me.
Right. Tony, just type in "People Get Ready" in YouTube and listen to the song afterwards and see what you think. excuse me. So yeah, great, good choice. For "There's Never Happened Before," and it's my number two.
Okay, roll that was so we did do we had it one time
Yeah,
where we synced up like that.
exactly.
Okay.
One time where we were close to syncing up, but this is a mood setter. You know what I mean? If you want, like, have a nice romantic evening, nice romantic dinner. This is like one of those songs that you'll play during that romantic dinner. It's a beautiful track. I've told this story before, but I just love that I was in San Antonio for training for a job, and we were out one night, having a
Oh,
couple
yeah, this is a great
beers.
story. Yeah.
And and then this guy, he's doing a song. He's just up there with him and the guitar, and he's playing song. He was playing songs all night just with him and the guitar. And then all of a sudden he just starts playing this song, and it just blew me away. And after he got done playing it, I was like, "Hey, great job, just out of the blue. I mean, did you know about the song?" And he goes, "No, but someone commissioned him to play it at their wedding."
Oh, so we had to learn.
So yeah, so he yeah, so that was like his first time playing that song,
Ha. And you're like, hey man, I know that song.
Exactly.
Hey, you want me to tell you everything about
Right, yeah, I'll tell you everything
it?
about it because but yeah, no, it was great. Yeah, it was a great moment, and he did a good job with it. And but yeah, it's a beautiful song. Like I said, it's just
Would have
I'm
loved
very
to
sure. I
do
love
some
it
of these.
lyrically.
Every lyric on that, this song is great. Yeah. I just wish we could have gotten some live renditions of some of these more tender ballads. You know, he only played three songs live. If we heard a Too Much Rain, or we heard it happened before, or we heard any something else, you know, that would have been cool. But that's a great story.
You shouldn't go alone. It's not so good when you're on your own. You know,
subtle guitar work there into it. You know, you hear some subtle guitar work in the song as well.
Yeah, like you said, I love that swirling orchestration type thing.
Oh, the strings. That's like almost like an Abbey Road moment.
Right.
A little bit, you know.
Exactly, but a beautiful song. And it belongs up there in the, I think personally it belongs up there in the Maybe I'm Amazed, you know,
Agreed.
Lonely Nights.
Agreed.
You know, So Bad, you know, greatest, you know, totally. Ballads of his career.
Yeah. I 1,000% agree with you.
Yeah.
All right, so that was your two?
That was my two, buddy.
My two is the album closer anyway.
All right.
The other ballad. To me, these were like, you know, I have both of these ballads ranked very strongly, very highly. I have since the day I listened to the album.
Mm.
And again, this, you know, again, the People Get Ready thing, I agree. It just did sound like that. But I understand what Tom is saying. He thinks it's a little bit boring lyrically, sometimes a little bit. But I just like, again, you know, anyway, you can make yourself at home, you know, make that call. And then you hear like the lyrics going, oh. That I love,
right?
You know, I hear echoes of Wings when I hear those echoes. You know that,
right?
That's what I hear when I hear this song. You know, and then the song actually picks up a little bit in tempo too, as well. The drums come in a little bit,
right?
Two minutes in, so now it's got a little bit of a beat going as well.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
Again, starts out as a plain ballad, and then gets the drums, and then the big flourishing finish again, mm-hmm. which is a big characteristic of a lot of songs on this record,
mm-hmm.
Which is why I love it. And before it kind of goes into the bonus track, I've Only Got Two Hands, you know. Yeah, but these two songs I would always play back to back, always. To me, this never happened before. Anyway, it was like awesome power ballad number one, power ballad number two.
Weren't they connected on the album?
Oh, yeah, 12 and 13. Yeah.
12 and 13, yeah, there you go. So
I was like, okay, here's a great song, followed up by another great song.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool, let's see here. Excellent cover. Yeah, by Mike. Yeah, there you go. Family connection with the poster from Mr. McGeer.
Mr. McGeer there with the photo.
Let's see, Brad, I keep saying I'd like to see you guys rank the ballads, but I'm getting less certain after tonight. I mean, it's possible. I mean, that's something we'll definitely consider. Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of great ballads. There's something we should do together, Andy, because a few years back, I think it was like year two of Two Legs, we did a Valentine's Day type song where we ranked our favorites ballads, David and I. But the stipulation was you could not include Maybe I'm Amazed and My Love.
Oh, well, yeah, that goes without saying.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe we can do that live one night. Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. So good idea, Brad. We'll take a look into that.
What's your number one, buddy? What is it?
It's always going to be Riding the Vanity Fair. I think this is lyrically, I think this is his best song in the last 20 years.
Wow,
I think it's
high praise indeed.
This is by far, I think, his most meaningful song maybe in the last 20 years. I'm so happy that he fought for this song, because you can hear, if you have the double LP, or I'm sorry, the two CD set, you get the making of, and then you get to hear a little bit of this track the way it was before the finished product. And you hear a little quicker pace on this song. But I'm really happy to make that statement, Tony.
Good for you, man. Stick to your guns.
No, absolutely. But the most meaningful bit of the song is, you know, the definition of friendship apparently ought to be showing support for the one that you love. And, you know, I was open for friendship, but you didn't seem to have any to spare. while you're riding the Vanity Fair. I like the, you know, he bit his tongue. I mean, there's just so much of the song, because we don't get songs like this from him often.
No.
Very rarely do we get songs like this from him. You know what I mean? And it's so, I mean, I don't know the exact word to say it, but I mean, it's when you get a chance to get a song like this, I think we should really take it seriously. The song is also, you know, everybody says it's about Heather, about this person, that person, that's fine. But for me, this could be like the suitcase in Pulp Fiction. You know what I mean? You think you know what it is, but you're never told what it is. You know what I mean? So I'm fine not knowing exactly, who this song is about, you know? But by far, I think even with the albums after this, Memory Was Full, New, Each Station, McCartney 3, this still holds as my favorite song from Paul McCartney
in the last 20 years.
In the last 20 years, absolutely.
Well, high praise indeed. I did not expect that. I mean, I knew you were going to have it high. I didn't think you were going to have it one. So that's pretty impressive and high praise indeed. So obviously we differ quite a bit on this one.
Right.
But I respect what he was going for with it, because it's so different and so unique. And it's a darker song. And I don't try to get caught up in the lyrics of songs. I listen to them for the sound. If they sound good, I'm hooked. I really don't worry about the lyrics or the meanings of the lyrics. I never have. Yeah. I never had, you know, again, and I'm a huge, I don't like that stuff. So if it's darker and it's not catching my ear right away, I'm not going to go for it.
And that's understood. I mean, those eventually, I've had those too. I mean, those are, you know, growers, you know, but when it does click, I mean,
if it clicks with you, it clicks with you, there's no need to defend it. That's why you like it for what you do. But that's high praise indeed. So the very nicely done, partner.
Thank you.
Oliver. And you defended it, which was good. Well, you're all going to disagree with my number one. If there's somebody out there that has this as their number one, they'll be my fan for the night, but I doubt it. My number one is Promise to You Girl.
Wow.
It's my number one.
Wow.
That's
bold, my friend.
I love this song. It's not my favorite. I don't think it's the best thing he's done the last 20 years. For this album, I like the simplicity of it.
Right.
I like how it opens up. And then again, it becomes a piano ballad rocker.
Yep.
A rocker. The multi-layered vocals. We can chase the dark valleys, and then it goes right into it. Boom, right into it. But my favorite part of the song, I mean, I think you know what this is the little wings section that you hear in it. And it's about a minute and a half into the song. It's that every single second of our live right into the Moog synthesizer. Love that. I think I would rewind it that 5 seconds over and over and over again. I'm like, ooh, the wing sound. The wing sound. That's what I used to do in the car on the CD, just because I wanted to hear those harmonies. I wanted to hear the Moog synthesizer again. I wanted to hear it. That's why I loved. That's why I love this song. It's great guitar work on it, you know, through it.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Just a jaunty little number, okay? It's nothing special. It's nothing to write home about, but
I love how, like you said, I love how it starts as one thing and then it goes right into something else, you know? It's very unexpected.
I
respect your opinion on this. Absolutely.
Thank you. Again, it's not your typical Andy number one on this one, but I've always loved it, and it is the go-to, and it also kind of sets the stage for the whole album too when you listen to it. First line, looking through the backyard of my life.
Great line.
You know, and it's like the unofficial theme of the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's setting the stage for the whole thing. You know, you like the picture of Paul in the backyard and everything. So, and I like that. So I don't know who said it was like a Queen song. I like that. Mo. Queen and wing sound. Mo, spot on. I agree with you 1,000%. Very Queen sounding song as well. So that was my number one for Chaos. And
excellent.
And great choices from you on number one as well. Awesome.
I loved it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the first time where we didn't have anything that was the same. I mean, it seemed like everything was just all over the place. I love this one a lot.
Yes. Same here, man. Same here. That's what makes it fun.
You know, absolutely.
You expect something. Oh, Tom's going to have this as one. Andy's going to have that as one. And you're like, wow, let's do a left turn turn. And you just got this. So,
right. Yeah. And that's the great thing about these songs. I mean, we both love this album, but we love the songs in a different order. I mean, I think that was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Ton of great B-sides from this one as well. Yep. And we're going to talk about that when we rank the non-album stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay. Here's a CD single, Jenny Wren, right here.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I Want You to Fly and This Loving Game, which is, I actually thought that should have been on the album.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
So.
Excellent. So.
22 albums ranked.
Wow. Well, more like 20. 20 well, ranked because then we right. had, the, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Tom asked me a question. Andy, do you have a favorite Paul song since 2000? In the last 20 years? Yeah, I'll say I'll throw out there, I Don't Know, or actually I Stand By In a Hurry from the double A's from the single.
Wow.
Which I was quite vocal on when that came out, and I still stand by that.
Very catchy track.
In a Hurry is probably one of my favorite things in the last 20 years, hands down. For sure. Right up there.
Wow. Kevin, this is why I like the show. I had promised you, girl, ranked last, but now Randy will make me listen to it again with a new year. See, and that's a great thing. There's no shame in going back and listening to something that you may not have liked, but you haven't heard in 10 years. You know,
and I'll listen to Riding to Vanity Fair a little bit differently now because you ranked it at one.
Wow.
You know,
yeah. No, I love that stuff. I love that stuff. You know, so. Yeah, so great stuff. Great job, Andy. Everybody out there, thank you. Once this this show goes public, don't forget to put your rankings in the comment section. And if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to the channel. We'd really appreciate it. We're on the north side of 500, so we're getting close to 600. So please keep those subscribers coming. We really appreciate it. Again, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, unfortunately, we're going to have to take the next 2 weeks off because just, you know, life – and we're busy, but we'll be back May 12th for what? Memory Almost Full, right?
That's right.
Yeah, another great album. I mean, he had, you know, two back-to-back but different feels, you know, on these albums.
And he went back to David Kahn for Memory Almost Full.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So thanks for being here, Tom. Appreciate it.
Oh, Tom, your granddaughter loves In a Hurry, too. Is that right? Did I read that right? If so, that's pretty cool that she digs that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is awesome. We have three rings to listen to Memory Almost Full. Yeah, you go. So there you go. You got a little more time on your hands to rank.
Somebody asked us if we're ranking Electric Arguments. We are not, right?
No, not yet. Not now, but soon. Eventually.
Right. Yes. Not part of the, because it's not really part of the case. Not, we only did the albums that are just Paul McCartney and or Wings. You know, that's all we were doing.
I love this, Jeremy. I love that line. True fact, scientists have now proven that people who can change their minds have a higher level of intelligence. I love that.
Very cool, Jeremy.
Love that. Yes. What's after Memory? New? Yes.
Yeah, and yes, indeed. Yeah.
New, and then Egypt Station. And then we're going to have non-album tracks, the B-sides, the bonus tracks, the hidden tracks. We're going to do that all in the one show. And then the last show will be McCartney 3, and that's going to be a big bonanza, whatever you want to call it, because we'll have some family members joining us for that. And I'm looking forward to closing that with some friends
with a little help from our friends.
Exactly. So so until then though, don't forget we're gonna have the Saturday shows going, but the 2 weeks no live shows. Guys, thank you so much for being here as always. Andy, anything you want to add before we sign off?
Not much, just yeah, thanks for tuning in, and make sure you give us our rankings. And you know, we've got a show dropping on Saturday at 10 a.m. on that we did with Ethan Alexanian on Ubu Jubu, which was pretty cool to check out. And Ethan and my new show, Anything But the Beatles, our first episode is dropping this weekend as well, when we discuss the Who Sell Out and the box set that is coming out this weekend as well. So lots of activity.
Yeah, I know, Oliver. I'm going to be sad when the series ends as well. But we'll take a small break. Excuse me. We'll take a small break, and then we'll come back with some more live stuff. Eventually, we're going to, we want the show to be live. Right? Period. I mean, just we'll just continue to do live stuff, but from time to time, we're going to need a little bit of a break from it, and but we'll be back for absolutely.
The live stuff is definitely, even when we finish the albums, is going to continue. We just, Tom and I, just have to figure out what shows to do and how to do them. But we are definitely going to continue trying to do weekly stuff after this for sure.
Absolutely. Yes, Tony, I've got medicine, trust me. But yes. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate that. I hope I feel better soon as well. But anyways, everybody out there, thanks again for being out there. Tony, please do not worry. I'm fine. It's just a cough that has lasted for about 3 weeks now, and I'm not too happy about it. But I've been taking medicine and for it anyway. So thank you, Ed. Thank you, Tom. Thank you everybody for being here. And as always, have a great day and a beautiful